Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, and prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey, exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. The big news this last week was Tucker Carlson airing footage of the January 6th protest, footage that was not played during the Democrat-led congressional hearings on the January 6th event. Now that Republicans are the majority in Congress, the new Republican leader in Congress, Kevin McCarthy, was able to release to Fox News and to Tucker Carlson all of the January 6th videotape. And so last week, Tucker Carlson showed portions of that video that was not shown during the January 6th committee hearings. Particularly, people who attended the rally walking peacefully through the Capitol, security guards waving them on and even opening doors for them, and the QAnon shaman, as he's called, Jacob Chansley, is seen walking through the Capitol building by himself, and the guards are escorting him, not trying to stop him, but he was given 4 years in jail for his actions. Tucker Carlson interviewed his lawyer. The lawyer said that the government would not allow him to access these videos for Chansley's defense. Jacob Chansley said that he thought being in the Capitol building was legal. I mean, after all, this is the people's house, and the guards were welcoming him in, and there were plenty of people in the Capitol that day who thought it was visiting hours. If you can stand and protest in the streets, you can certainly stand and protest in the rotunda of the Capitol. Now, of course, there were political hotheads and Antifa-like people who broke windows, and they should be prosecuted. But the vast majority of people there were not breaking into the Capitol. Yet the different narrative put forth by the Democrats was that the January 6th protests were an insurrection, as if these people are actually trying to overturn the U.S. government. As one meme describes it, an insurrection doesn't have tour guides. But the story, or rather the narrative that the Democrats want to make, was that this protest was complete evil. The Democrats had something they could keep in the news to smear their political opponents. And this is the strategy. It isn't about what is right or what is truth, but truth is based on what will help the image or the advancement of the party. And so in 2022, Congress, controlled by the Democrats, held 6 months of hearings to continually discuss this event. And in December, they advertised for 6 days on primetime the final report. It was like a prosecuting attorney giving his final appeal to the jury. Here's an article from Politico, which is not a right-wing source. Quote, Democrats turned the January 6th hearing into must-see TV. The Democrats plan a full media blowout over January 6th. The January 6th committee readies a full-fledged media event to tell their Trump coup story. So the best description of these hearings is that this was a show trial where only the prosecutor was able to present his case. But the defense attorney was prohibited from showing up in court. There were no politicians or participants from the rally representing the side of the J6 protesters. It was a one-sided show trial. I mean, even if you favor just one party in this, you can see the injustice here. And there was plenty that needed to be brought out about how the Capitol Police abused innocent people, how they incited the crowd, how they opened the doors, and how it was just a few individuals that caused all the violence. And, you know, these people are not there to overturn the U.S. government. This wasn't an insurrection, as if this was like the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. These people just wanted the Senate to put off the certification of the election while election fraud could be investigated. So Tucker Carlson shows some footage that gave perspectives of the protests that were not given at the January 6th hearings. And the political left and the media cried lies and misinformation. The day after Tucker Carlson showed the first video, New York Senator Chuck Schumer stood up in the Senate and said, quote, "Last night, millions of Americans turned into one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on cable television. With contempt for the facts, disregard of the risks, and knowing full well that he was lying to his audience, Fox News host Tucker Carlson ran a lengthy segment last night arguing that the January 6th Capitol attack was not a violent insurrection. By diving deep into the waters of a conspiracy and cherry-picking from thousands of hours of security footage, Mr. Carlson told the bold-faced lie that the Capitol attack, which we all saw with our own eyes, was somehow not an attack at all. He tried to argue it was nothing more than a peaceful sightseeing tour. Can you imagine? A non-violent demonstration, a perfectly fine and appropriate instance of people expressing their opinion. I and so many others who were here in the Capitol and millions of Americans are just furious with Tucker Carlson and Kevin McCarthy today. I don't think we've ever seen a primetime cable news anchor manipulate his viewers the way Mr. Carlson did last night. I don't think I've ever seen an anchor treat the American people and American democracy with such disdain. They know fully well that they're lying, and they're doing it anyway. I hope every member of this chamber will call out Fox and Mr. Carlson for defending the insurrection. I condemn Mr. Carlson for siding with the enemies of democracy," unquote, Chuck Schumer. So Chuck Schumer is complaining that Tucker Carlson is cherry-picking video from January 6th, when that's exactly what the January 6th committee did for the last 6 months. The Matthew chapter 7, picking the beam out of your own eye before you pick the beam out of the eye of your brother, is so obvious, it's hilarious. For Tucker Carlson to manipulate his viewers was evil, but for the Democrats and the J6 hearing to manipulate viewers, that's okay. The actual best response to the outrage from Schumer was from Andrew Klavan, who said, "Democrats object to Tucker's showing of the videos because his distortion of the events interrupts their distortion of the events." Schumer is just like a prosecuting attorney who, when the defense attorney gets up to speak, cries out, "Objection, objection, Your Honor." And the judge asks why. And the prosecutor says, "Because I think the defense attorney's perspective is wrong." The next day, the New York Times ran this headline: "Republican lawmakers split over Carlson's false January 6th claims." Now, did you get that? Let me read it again. Republican lawmakers split over Carlson's false January 6th claims. Well, how does the New York Times know that Tucker Carlson's claims are false? Well, because they're starting with the a priori assumption that their own interpretation of the events is the only true interpretation. I mean, are you going to believe your lying eyes? Or are you going to believe the Democrats' J6 armed insurrection narrative? The left is very upset because their narrative that they have worked so hard to establish is now being challenged. Their worldview is being challenged. And if you want to get people upset, challenge their worldview. Challenge the way they see the world. Why do you think they put Jesus on the cross? Because he challenged their ideological, moral, religious perspectives. Now, here's a point that needs to be made. I don't doubt the sincerity of the Democrats or the J6 committee. They actually see the January 6th protest as an insurrection. The worst thing that happened in America since the Civil War, or since the burning of the Capitol by the British in 1812. it's a big mistake on the part of some conservatives to say they actually know that they're lying about this insurrection narrative. Because sin is far more subtle than that. People are the blind leaders of the blind. Now, in the case of the Russian collusion hoax, there certainly is evidence that the media knew that the whole thing was a fabrication, but they deliberately pushed the story to discredit President Trump. But even then, the lie doesn't seem like a lie when it favors your objectives. People sincerely hold on to their worldviews so that they assume how they see things must be the truth. They have no idea how their previous ideological choices in life cloud their judgment. For example, what causes a person to be so offended by the January 6th protest, but then turn around and call Antifa and BLM riots that took place all summer and that actually destroyed millions of dollars of property, to call them peaceful protests, to call them legitimate expressions of political speech, or they're justified because of a need for social justice? Remember what Nancy Pelosi said about the storming of the state house in Wisconsin by leftist rioters? She tweeted, "That is an impressive show of democracy in action." And Chuck Schumer said about the New York City riots that destroyed millions of dollars of property, he said, "I'm proud of the protests." Quote, in response to the violence, Schumer said, "But I'll tell you this, the overwhelming majority of protesters in New York, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, were peaceful protesters." Well, that's strange. Why didn't he say that about the J6 protesters? Why did he support 6 months of J6 committee meetings rather than just saying, "Well, this is just a few bad actors. Most of the protesters were peaceful. Let's move on"? No, his mindset caused him to exaggerate the J6 events. So the point is this: people will cherry pick the data according to their own ideological biases or ideological agenda. Hitler overplayed the burning of the Reichstag in order to create a certain narrative so that he could get power for himself and institute martial law. Politicians never let a good crisis go to waste. They use it to push their ideology, and they'll exaggerate, and they'll feign being offended. And in a world without God, it's not about discovering the real truth. It's all about what can be done to advance your agenda. Whereas the righteous, as it says in Psalm 15, the righteous man takes an oath to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, he tells the truth even if it's going to hurt him politically, socially, emotionally, financially. But for the unrighteous, truth is compromised. The data is cherry-picked toward that which will help him personally, financially, politically, socially. So what happened last week in Tucker Carlson, given a different perspective on the January 6th protest, is another teachable moment, a spiritual lesson, another example of how people see what they want to see. It's a lesson in how people, in their biases, interpret events, how people see the world through whatever glasses they decide to put on. Is there scripture about this? Absolutely. It's called in scripture partiality, judging the rightness or the wrongness of a situation based on something other than truth, God's law. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. "You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's." Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. "You shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 5. "To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment." Proverbs 24, 23. "These also are the sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good." Proverbs 28, 21. To show partiality is not good because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. And the point is this. Do not give unfair preferences based upon a person or a party or what gives you gain, because even for a piece of bread, a small little amount of gain, look at how people will transgress and be biased in their judgment. And so if something gives one political party or one's worldview ideology the slightest gain, people will be biased with the data so that they'll make the data favor them and make the data indict their opponent. And this is what happens when what is true is decided not based upon the word of God, but upon what helps people achieve their own goals. Like people say abortion, LGBTQ, communism must be true and it must be right because it affirms what I want to do and what I want to be. People no longer put themselves under an objective standard outside of themselves because they see themselves as being the authority and they see themselves as being God. And this is the problem we now have in a nation that has abandoned the word of God. We're a nation ruled by men, not by God's law. So this is why there's just so much bias and cherry picking of the data in American politics. I mean, this has always been true because people are sinners. I mean, back even in the 1800s, there are plenty of cases of partisan bias in political speeches in Congress. But it has gotten worse since God and his objective standards have been removed from the culture. Not only has the bias gotten worse, people's blindness to it has gotten worse. Now, in the New Testament, there are a number of texts about people cherry-picking data to suit their agenda. Mark chapter 12, verse 14, they came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know that you're truthful and defer to no one, for you're not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth." Then they asked the question, "Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar?" Well, the point of that verse is that they knew Jesus' character and the way it should be. Or Matthew chapter 11, verse 18. "For the prophet John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." The Pharisees, in their refusal to accept God's truth and consider the fact that they may be wrong, they were experts in cherry-picking the data to indict the people they wanted to indict. Matthew 23:24, "You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." They majored on the minors and minored on the majors if it suited them. Do you ever find yourself doing that? Making a mountain out of a molehill because you have someone you want to pull down, or because you want to exalt yourself, or you want to score some points for your argument? Do we do as Jesus said not to do? Matthew chapter 7, looking at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but not noticing the log that's in your own eye. And that is cherry picking the data to help your own cause, your own ego. You know, even when we hear this message, we might be thinking to ourselves, of all the people that this applies to, but fail to see the problem in ourselves. This reminds me of that old Rorschach inkblot test joke. An obese man goes into a psychiatrist's office and the psychiatrist shows him an inkblot. And he asks the man, "What does he see?" The man says, "I see a cheeseburger and a large shake." The psychiatrist shows him another inkblot. And he says, "I see a dozen donuts." Then the psychiatrist shows him one more inkblot. And the man says, "I see a tray of tacos." And the psychiatrist says, "I believe you have an obsession with food." And the man says, "Me? You're the one showing me all the pictures of food." Well, the moral of the story is we superimpose our own bias as if it's coming from others. More scripture. How about the cherry picking in Matthew 23:29? "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets." So this is a selective or biased view of history to see it as favoring oneself or one's party. That is, I'm certainly not the Nazis and the progressive eugenists of the 1930s. I'm not like those 1917 Bolsheviks. That all describes my opponents. I'm the good guy. I am like the good people in that day fighting the evil. You know, for the Pharisees, they believed that they were in the camp of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. And Jesus was like the false prophets in those days. So it's really amazing how we put on our rose-colored glasses and see the world how we want to see it rather than seeing the truth. When the Bible addresses spiritual blindness, this is what it's talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. This is what this blindness looks like. Now, then, of course, there's the trial of Jesus. The greatest example of bias and cherry-picking the data. The council in Jerusalem said, "This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Well, says who? That was their own view of the events. And then the high priest Caiaphas goes on and says that Jesus' ministry was such a threat to the nation that Jesus needed to be put to death so that the whole nation does not perish. He saw Jesus as the problem, not himself. Same thing happened in the Apostle Paul's trial, Acts chapter 24. "For we have found this man a real pest, and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world. And he even tried to desecrate the temple, and we arrested him." Well, was their biased perspective right? That Paul was troubling the world, that he really wanted to destroy the temple and the nation of Israel? No, from God's perspective and the perspective of biblical truth, Paul was actually helping the world. So in closing, what does this all mean? For secular humanists, who do recognize that people see things only through their bias, they conclude that therefore no one is right, that there is no such thing as truth since everyone disagrees. Truth is therefore simply a human construct. So therefore everyone can have his or her own truth, and might makes for a right. But Christians believe that God and his word is the ultimate standard of truth. And the Bible is not ambiguous or subject to various interpretations. There is one truth if words mean what words mean and sentences mean what sentences mean. And the answer for us is to conform our minds to the Word of God so that we see the truth and refuse to cherry-pick the data. Cherry-pick the data like the Pharisees, the false teachers, and modern-day politicians and ideologues. There is a right and wrong. There is a truth to which we must conform. The point is this. It wasn't as if both the Sanhedrin and Jesus were both right and wrong. No, Jesus was right, and the Sanhedrin were wrong. We're either right or wrong in our perspectives. We're either in the light or we're in the darkness. I'm out of time. I'll continue this topic in more detail in my video version of this program at my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. You can get all the links at my website, godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, for what we know not, teach us. For what we have not, give us. For what we are not, make us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.